Thank you, Lord. Well, this evening I want to talk about how we get faith. How we get faith. How do we get faith? Let's start over in Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." But without faith it is hard to please God. No. It's impossible to please God. It's impossible to please God without faith. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. Notice that. He who comes to God must believe that he is. If someone's coming to God, they must believe that God is. It didn't say that God has to prove themselves or prove himself to them for them to believe. You have to come to God believing. And people have tried to make it all kinds of ways. They say, you know, well, if God's God, why don't he prove it? Why don't he show up? Why don't he just come and make something happen? He's God. I'm telling you, folks, God is so much higher than we can even imagine with our finite brains. And he is the Almighty, the creator of everything. It is not for a man to come and demand that God do anything. God is so much higher. And so he demands and he says, if you're going to come to him, you have to believe that he is. He didn't say he's going to prove it. That's not his job. We're to believe him. We're to take his word for it and to believe. That doesn't mean we shut our brains off, but our reasoning was not given to us to reason against his word. We're to take his word by faith. We're to use our brains for things, but it's not to question him. People have got it twisted. To reason with him, not reason if he exists. People that are trying to get a reason and trying to be convinced that he exists are going about it the wrong way. They're trying to convince their mind and faith, believing God. You got to come to God with faith and believing. And it's a heart issue and it's a will issue. People generally, they don't want to bow their knee to God. And they say, well, I need it proved to me. No, that's not what God says. But anyway, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. But the part I want to point out is that without faith, it's impossible to please him. Now, if it's impossible to please him without faith, but he did not give us the mechanism with which to get faith, then he's unjust. And if not everybody can have faith, but it's impossible to please him without faith, then he's telling us to do something that not everyone can do. So he's unjust. And we know that's not true. So that means we can all get faith, and he's made it so that we can come by that we can increase our faith. But if he put that part in our hands, if he made it so that we can have faith and increase our faith or to come to faith, then we cannot put off on him something that he gave us to do. We can never put off on God what he has given us to do. And some people are saying, well, God, you, if you'll just help me and help me to do this and make me have faith. People pray for faith. That's not how faith comes, by praying for it. We're going to see it comes by hearing the word of God. But it doesn't come by asking for it, for begging. if God has put something in our responsibility, then we need to take part of that. That'd be like me having responsibility for my children and saying, you know what, God, you just take care of those kids. You just take care of them. Now, He'll help us. Don't get me wrong. We can believe God that He'll watch over our kids and help them. But what I'm saying is, like, there was an example Brother Hagin gave where he heard related to him. There was this man, or there's this couple that were working. I think they were working for a ministry and doing different things during the day. But where they were staying, there was a pool outside. And there was a guy that kept the grounds or whatever. And they would just let their, I forget the age, but 3 or 4 year old little kid just play around the grounds. And there was a pool, an open pool there, and running around. And the man said to him, you better watch your child or else he's going to drown. And the parents said, oh no, we've given the angels charge over him. He's not going to drown. And it wasn't that long that the kid fell in and he died. He drowned. Now, was that God's will? No. Who is supposed to be watching over the child? The mother and father. Now, I'm not saying that, hey, when kids are out of your sight and different things, God can help them. But what I'm saying directly, a 3 or 4 year old is not in that category. You don't say, hey, God's just going to do it. I don't have to take any responsibility. No, there's things that God has given us responsibility to do. And watching over a 4 year old so they don't go in the street or go into a pool is one of them. That's foolishness if we say that's God's responsibility. Now, we're not talking about, you know, kids left, grown, whatever, and you're saying, God, help them. God, you know, you watch over them. You're not there. That's a little different. They're an adult. There's a difference. But when I've been given something, you know, a child, and I've been given a responsibility as a parent, God, there's a part, as a man part and a God part. And so it's the same thing with faith. A lot of people are saying, well, God, just give me faith. It's just basically all your responsibility. Give it to me, and if I can believe, you know, then, you know, it's just all up to you to make me to believe, to help me to believe. And that's not true. God's given us all the ability to get faith, and some of it's our responsibility. Now, people don't necessarily like to hear that. We want to think that, I mean, that's not to put condemnation or a load on us and make it so that it's all our responsibility. It's not all our responsibility. God has already done the heavy lifting, but He has given us something to do, and so that we can put the word in, so that we can build our faith, so that we can hear, and so that we can be what we're doing right here tonight, coming and hearing the word. People have a choice. They don't have to come. Everybody makes a choice what they're going to do with their time. And so one of the things, by putting ourselves in a position to hear, we're putting ourselves in a position to build our faith. When we go to the Word and feed on it daily, we're putting ourselves in a position for God to speak to us and increase our faith in areas that we need it. He knows what we need, but, you know, if we just sat there and said, well, God, I just want you to help me, and we sit there and do nothing day after day, I want you to help me. And I've seen people do this. God, just help me. And they just keep asking and begging and just, God, help me, and just put it all off God. And, well, nothing happens, so it must not be God's will. And people come to that all the time. Must not be God's will because it's not happening. Well, all kinds of things in this world are happening that aren't God's will. People are going to hell every day. That's not God's will. That doesn't mean He's making it happen. And so we can't judge God's will, and we can't judge everything that's happening or His will by things that are happening. He's given us certain things to do, and one of those things is to put the word in us. Let's turn over to Ephesians 2:8 real quick. This is kind of all by way of introduction, but Ephesians 2:8. Ephesians 2:8, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. For by grace you have been saved through faith. You've been saved by grace. It's by grace that it's made possible, but it's through faith that we partake. I had that on a test one time in Rhema. It was, you know, I can't remember exactly. It was like, fill in the blank. It's by, and you know, it's real easy to get it backwards. It's not by grace or by faith through grace. It's by grace through faith. By grace, Jesus, by unmerited favor, he's made it available. We did not do anything to make that part of it happen. But it's like it's been put in this account and it's available. Now, how do we get it? Through the hand of faith. Through faith. That's how we become born again. That's how we access anything that God has given us. It's through faith. So, through faith, that's how we get saved. Now, how do we get that faith to be saved? As an example, how do we get faith to be saved? It says it's by grace. Now, Jesus has died for every person. He's already made the payment by grace, by unmerited favor, by his divine endowment. He has made the way so that every person could be saved, but it's through faith that we partake. So how does that happen? How does one partake of that grace? How does one partake? Well, let's turn over to Romans 10:8. This is the same in every area, but this is just one example for us to see it. Romans 10:8. So if God has told us how to get faith, if we don't have faith in a certain area, and this is not meant to be hard, but that's not God's fault. It's the same, it's not God's fault if somebody doesn't believe on him. If the word comes, or if we know, once we know how to get faith, then we have a part to play in getting the faith that we need because he has already made it possible. It doesn't mean that it's putting an unnecessary burden on us or it's heaping condemnation on us or anything, but there is a part that we play. So Romans 8, or 10:8, Romans 10:8, we're saying, how does faith for salvation come? Verse 8, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Let's skip down to verse 13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they not believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we can see, if we look back, what is the three steps it takes to be saved here? Number one, to confess. Number two, to believe. Number three, to accept. And then to whoever hears, verse 13, says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So go back to verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 14, how then shall they not call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they not believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So we see the way we get saved, Ephesians 2:8, we said, by grace through faith. So how do we get that faith? We have to hear the word of the Lord. We have to hear that it's Jesus, that Jesus died on the cross, and that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's how people get born again. We go and preach to them. We declare that to them. Now they have a choice. They need to confess and believe. Confess with their mouth and believe with their heart, and they shall be saved. How can they confess or believe if they haven't heard? They can't. And there are people and tribes that have never heard the name of Jesus, period. That's why we're supposed to go ye. That's why we're supposed to go into all the world and preach the gospel to them, is so that they can be saved. Let's turn over to Acts 11:13. Now this is this way faith comes in every area. We're talking about how do we get faith. And we're using being saved as an example. Acts 11. Verse 13. Acts 11, verse 13. Now, this is the account. I'm going to take time to read all this, but Peter is up on top of a roof, and he goes into a trance, has a vision. And he sees this vision of this sheet coming down with animals and so on and so forth. And basically at the end of it, God tells him to go preach the gospel to a man named Cornelius. And so Peter at this point is recounting this. He's telling this story. And Verse 13 says, and he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house. And he's talking about Cornelius. Cornelius had seen, he had been told to call for Peter, and he calls for Peter, and Peter's up praying, and then he sees a vision to say, go with this guy when he comes. So in verse 13, he's talking about Cornelius, and he said, and he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house who said to him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved. So this angel stood in front of Cornelius and told him to send to Joppa for Simon. Why? So that he will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved. What words is he going to tell him? He's going to preach the gospel to him so that he could be saved and his whole family with him. Why? So how do we get saved? Ephesians 2:8, by grace through faith. And then what did we say in Romans? That when we hear the word, then we can believe. So what did Cornelius needed to hear that? Why didn't he just get saved right there? Why? God has given men the responsibility again to men to preach the gospel. Why did the angel just preach to him? Because that's God's not set it up that way. He told us to go. He told us to go ye. He didn't give that responsibility to angels, evidently. Men have to come through the knowledge of the word and believe and put their faith, and they have a choice. Don't be mistaken. That same word comes to people, and when it comes to people, they have a choice whether they're going to believe it or not. And it's of the heart. It's not of the head. It's of the heart. People want a reason. Well, you proved to me that God exists, and they want to go around these circles. A lot of times when people, if you're talking to them, or they're hearing the word, they say, oh, yeah, but what about this? And it's a distraction. They don't really care about this, some question that they have. It's they don't want to yield. So they'll get you, and even if you answer that, okay, yeah, but fine, but what about this? And they'll do that to you all day and all week because they don't want to bow their knee. And they're talking about a head thing. Oh, yeah, but I need to know. No, it's of the heart. I'm not saying your head. Your head doesn't have to understand everything before your heart trusts. In all things, not just in salvation. You don't have to have it all figured out before your heart says, God said it, I believe it. Yeah, but your head always have stuff. We just shut off our head, and we'll get to that in a different sermon. But our head's not the deal. We may have doubts in our head, but our heart is what matters. I know somebody personally that finally said they became a Christian, and they were like, they had questions and questions, and finally they realized they're never going to have all their questions answered. They're never going to know everything, and they just need to believe. And they got born again, and they're Christians today. It's the same thing with us in every area. We want to understand sometimes things. What about this? What about this? We just need to say, shut up, head. I believe. I'm going to believe. And it's a choice that we just say, we're going to believe. And that, so in this case, Cornelius needed the gospel preach to him. Let's turn over to Mark 16, 15. The Great Commission. So Mark 16:15, it says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. See, he gave that responsibility to men. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So that's what he told us to do that. So Cornelius, he had to hear it from men, and that's what Peter was doing, going and preaching. He was following this instruction to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Notice verse 16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. So that is the responsibility of us to go preach the gospel and believe, and so that men can be saved. Now let's turn over to Acts. Go back into Acts. We just came from that. I should have had you keep your finger there. Acts 14. So you can see in the case of salvation, faith for salvation comes from hearing the word about salvation. When someone hears the word about salvation, now faith will come. But we have to accept it. We have to act on it. We have to say, yes, that's true. I believe it. I act on it. And this is the same in every area. In Acts 14:7, we see a man that was healed by faith. By his faith. Acts 14:7. It said, and they were preaching the gospel there. And they were preaching the gospel there. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet. And he leapt and walked. Now, notice what happened. Number one, in verse 7, they were preaching the gospel there. They were preaching the gospel. What were they preaching? Well, I wanted to read you one definition in both. The Greek and Hebrew word for salvation implies the ideas of deliverance, safety, healing, and soundness. I want to say that again. The Greek and Hebrew word for salvation implies the ideas of deliverance, safety, healing, and soundness. And so when they were preaching the gospel, hold your finger there. Hold your finger in Acts. Go over to Romans 1. I got ahead of myself here. This is where I wanted to actually be saying that. But Romans 1, verse 16. This is Paul writing. And he said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. For everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. What did we just read that they were preaching? And they were preaching the gospel. Paul, he was preaching the gospel. Now this is Paul speaking, and he said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. And now this is where I wanted to insert that salvation doesn't just imply just being saved from our from hell or being born again. It refers to this. It refers to salvation, or it refers to deliverance, safety, healing, and soundness. So you could read this that God, that Paul is saying, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to deliverance, to safety, to healing, and to soundness for everyone who believes. So that's the full gospel, not just partial gospel. So when Paul was preaching at Lystra, he wasn't just preaching you can be born again. He was preaching that Jesus can take care of it all. That Jesus, through Jesus, you can be healed. Through Jesus, you can be whole. Through Jesus, you can be delivered. So when you go back to Acts, so verse 7 in chapter 14, verse 7, he said, and they were preaching the gospel there. So they were preaching deliverance, salvation, soundness, everything that's involved in Jesus. They're preaching and declaring who Jesus is and what he's done. The full gospel. And so in verse 8, and in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his mother, without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. What was Paul speaking? He's speaking the gospel. What's the gospel? It's the power of God unto salvation, which is unto deliverance and healing and soundness and wholeness. So he hears Paul speaking this word. Paul, observing him intently. So Paul's up here preaching. We said some of this a few weeks ago. Paul's up here preaching, and he's preaching that Jesus saves, that he delivers, that he heals, that Jesus can take care of your problem. This man hears him. And so Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, he sees the man and he can see that he has faith. He can see that he's hearing this word and something about him, is he's believing it. He's ready. He is ready to act on it. He can see faith. It didn't say Paul went and healed the man. It didn't say Paul went, oh, isn't that nice how Paul went and healed it. Paul didn't do it. Paul just declared the gospel. That's what he's preaching. He's preaching the gospel. If you notice, Paul preached the same thing over and over. His messages, you know, he focuses on different things, but it's the gospel. All those epistles where he was preaching, it's the same message. He doesn't just change his message all the time. So Paul observed him intently. He is what? He's hearing the word. This man, he's been crippled all his life. I don't think any of us in here have something quite like him. 38 years, he's never walked. He doesn't even know what that is. He's watched other people walk all his life, but he's never done it himself. He didn't have that ability and he lost it. He's never had it. He doesn't know what it's like to stand on his feet. But he heard what Paul's saying and faith rose up on the inside of him. Now, it didn't say that he heard Paul's teaching tapes for 3 years and then faith. It doesn't say that. It said he heard Paul speaking. And something in him said, that's my answer. That's it. Faith came. Now let me ask you something. This is something we've warped. Because when somebody hears the gospel, according to when we talk about being born again, we think, man, if I can give you the gospel, if I give you the word of God on Jesus that you can be born again today, what would we tell them? If you'll believe it and you'll receive it, you'll be saved. Now, is there any doubt? You would, I'm telling you, Christians would say, no doubt. If they started saying, yeah, but you don't know what I did, and I don't care. If you'll believe that, it's available to you now. Now. You can be born again now. Well, I don't know. No, now. See, we know that. We've been taught that. We've heard that. We'll argue over it. We'll go rounds on that. But in healing, okay, so if I give you the gospel, which is what Paul's doing, on healing. This man's in the crowd, probably hearing it. Maybe he's heard Paul speak before, but he definitely didn't saturate himself with his iPod over and over and over and over and over, or he didn't have a Bible to go over and let me get in my healing scripture. He heard the gospel, and he believed. Faith rose up, and this man, who was crippled for 38 years, got up. Paul looked at him and said, "You have faith. You, get up." He can't get up. He's crippled. He can't. In the natural, he just told him, he said, "I see you have faith. You're believing what I'm saying. You." He just stopped in the middle of his sermon. "You, get up." And the man said, "All right." And he acted on it. And boom, power hit his legs and he got up. That's the way it ought to be. Now, we have it, why isn't it working that way? Well, one reason is because what is our reaction? Just go through it. If we'll tell somebody, if we started with salvation, you go somebody and you tell them, "Man, if you believe on Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you act on that, you're going to be healed. I mean, you're going to be born again." "Really? Right now, if I believe that in my heart?" "Yes, absolutely. No doubt. No doubt. Now switch over to healing in your mind. Switch over to healing and say, now, if you go to somebody and you say, "You know, Jesus, Jesus bore your sicknesses and you can be healed. What, you going to be healed right now?" What comes up in your mind? "I don't know." Why is that? Because we saw something one time, we saw it, something happened, or we've heard it, or we're just not quite sure. We're not quite sure it definitely will happen. We're not sure. So what is that? What is that? Do we believe it? No, something's tainted our thinking to where we're not sure. So we're not fully assured. Is this true? I'm telling you, because because we go and there's not that same, think of how you'd be in salvation. You would argue all day. "No, all you have to do is believe." "No, you have to believe. You'll be healed right now." Now let me ask you, which is the greater miracle? That you would be born again and the inside, that the very being, the real being, not this framework, this created world that we see that is going to pass away, not anything changing there, but the inside, the spiritual man being recreated and standing, being able to stand in the presence of God for all time. That's what we believe will happen when somebody takes a hold of the gospel on salvation, being born again, and believes it. But because of this, our mind, and because of our senses, we have it warped in our head that if I tell somebody that Jesus took care of your body, which is just this outward thing, God, our God creates planets. He creates everything. He is the Almighty. And we get it in our head somehow, "I don't know if for sure he's going to, if really you're going to be healed. So I don't know if I want to tell you that because I've had an experience, because I've had a faith failure, I've seen something not work, and I'm just not convinced that's actually going to happen." That's doubt and unbelief. That's what we have to deal with in all of us. In all of us. I'm not saying this to you, I'm saying this. We wonder, we said a little bit of this, why do people go into another country? People haven't heard the gospel, and they're having these crusades, and they're preaching it, and people just get healed left and right. Because if they're hearing, they're not tainted with all this stuff, and they hear it, and they hear about Jesus, just like this guy, they're hearing about the gospel, and they're hearing about the full package. They're hearing Jesus saves, he heals, he delivers, whatever you need, he's the answer. And they hear this, they've never heard anything else, they maybe have never heard the name of Jesus, and they go, "Okay, I believe." Boom, 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 boom. Why? Why? Because those people, they are acting on what they heard, and faith is quickened, and it's expect. They don't have any doubt. Why should they doubt? And then all these people look around, and this is stuff. All that does is compound it. They're seeing it happen right before their eyes, and they're saying, "There is no doubt." And faith just rises up, and you see crowds in the millions, literally. I mean, they got these TVs and things that go for just huge crowds, and things happen. Why is that? Because the faith, the atmosphere is so charged with expectation. Because why? They're hearing the untainted gospel. And the fact is, we've had stuff contaminate our mind and contaminate our believing over time. We've been maybe steeped in unbelief, telling whatever your background is, you know, people saying, speaking untruth that isn't the word of God. So when you go to believe and you hear the word on healing, or maybe you've heard it before, something in you is going, I don't know. I'm not fully assured because there was this instance, or but I tried here, or but, and that's not what the word says. But that's what the problem is. Now, if we can remove that and remove the doubt, we don't have to remove it completely. What we really have to do is realize, and we'll talk about this another time, but is that faith is rising up in our hearts. And that's what we have to act on at that point is, I believe it. Your head can say, that ain't so. Your head can say, what about so-and-so? What about so-and-so? And all what we need to do is ignore that and say, go by what's in our hearts and act on it anyway, even with doubt in our head. But what happens is that doubt in our heads overpowers what is already in our heart, and we let this distract us, and we get back into our head and say, I don't know, and we waver, and we start sinking, just like Peter walking on the water. It's so. Amen? Amen. Oh, me. But if we just, that's why when the word comes in, it's bringing faith. And the more we just get that out and just realize that this other can't stop us. The other can't stop us. The doubt can't stop us. But faith comes by hearing in every circumstance. And we just need to get that other stuff washed out of us. It's not a works thing. See, the reason why we're listening to stuff over and over and over is basically countering all that junk that has been put into us somewhere. And we believe and we say, oh, I believe, but then this other stuff comes out. And we need to get to where that belief just trumps anything else. It's like, I believe and that's it. Yeah, but I don't care. Yeah, but I don't care. I believe. I don't care. I believe. Yeah, but it doesn't look like it's working. I believe. Until it just, everything else fades. Amen? Hallelujah. But our point tonight is that faith comes by hearing. It does. It comes into our heart by hearing. When we hear that word and we can act on it, and this is for every one of us. Every one of us. And right now, as we've been speaking, faith is being built in our hearts. You can even sense it in the atmosphere. When we're talking about that man getting up, there's something that wants to rise up and say, that's the way it ought to be, that's the way it should be. And something in your head can say, yeah, but. And that's what we have to deal with. Say, no, I don't care, but. I don't care, but. The Word of God says this. God is no respecter of persons. This man that heard Paul speaking, I'm no worse than that man. It's not like I'm the cast out that can't be healed. No, the Word says it, and so I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. Hallelujah. Just believing him, what he said, take it at face value and just stay there and get and just eradicate that, or just focus on that part that's building faith. Focus on the belief. Get rid of that unbelief. Quit looking at that and focus on him. And if we'll just do that and stay there, whatever we feed will grow. Whatever we starve will die. Thank God. Well, we'll pick up next week. I think we've gone long enough, but just I believe things are just changing in our hearts and minds, and I say our. We're all coming to a full revelation of what where he wants us all to be walking. Hallelujah.